Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 23rd, 289th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Kathy Miller from Economic Fuel and a couple of buddies. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
So has anything changed much in the last year in your life? This is the catch-up part of the program. No? Okay.
No, yeah, we're good. Economic Fuel's rolling.
It's really fun. See, that's one of my goals is to trip you guys up one time per show, and I got her on the first
you.
One. So. Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe that explains a whole bunch. The last little bit is gone. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Economic Fuel, some of the ins and the outs. Kathy's brought along a couple of folks also who have different perspectives on what the process is, and we'll share those with you when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Miller and her anonymous friends.
Would you like me to introduce
them? Not yet.
Okay.
We're going to the quote of the day. This is from Professor Irwin Corey to a heckler. Quote, when your IQ raises to 28, sell. So... A little levity to begin the program here. So, Kathy, for folks who are unfamiliar, what is Economic Fuel?
Economic Fuel is a written business plan competition for CR and HSU students and actually anyone who lives in Humboldt County who's attending an online university. They compete by writing a business plan for a business they're interested in starting in Humboldt County. We give away $117,000 in cash awards each spring to be used as seed capital to help people get their businesses started. We have four $25,000 grand prize cash awards, one $10,000 award, one $5,000 award, and two $1,000 awards.
So once folks get the award, what is the requirement, or is there a requirement for additional or follow-up information? We'll just use first name. When Chris got the check, is he then pushed away from the dock and allowed to go in the business world wherever he wants to, or are there obligations to contact or to do follow-up or to share his success or any of those types of things?
There are not contractual obligations long-term for follow-up, but clearly Economic Fuel winners tend to be fans, and we stay connected and we continue to follow up with folks.
So it's a moral and ethical commitment rather than a legal one.
For sure.
Okay.
It's the drive of the entrepreneur.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, so the folks get the awards, and then after that point, how do you start the process, either for the next cycle to get new applicants or to find out, because I'm sure you guys want to know, was this a successful award or not?
One of the things that we do through the process of working with competitors, we actually start in the fall and the cash awards are provided in the spring. So over the course of that year, we connect our competitors with mentors in the business community. We have a list of over 40 advisors on our website. We encourage them to get connected with the North Coast Small Business Development Center. We provide information about resources for entrepreneurs in the community and connect them to the business departments at CR and HSU. So long before they finish with Economic Fuel, they have a very strong connection in the community and a support network that helps them to move forward.
Is it paperwork intensive? I'll ask Kathy and we'll then confirm with Chris.
We have very strict rules and entry guidelines. I will say that. Do you want to take it from there?
Well, now you can introduce the guys.
Oh, okay.
So you've been in the spotlight all by yourself. We had a voice disembodied voice from the sidelines there for just a second.
So. Okay.
Now, well, yeah. Pull back the curtain, will you?
Sure. We have here in the studio with us as well, Chris Kieselhorst, who is a 2006 Economic Fuel Competition winner. We also have Bruce Hamilton, who has been an Economic Fuel judge for the past 7 years.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Oh, good. Okay, the mic works. Chris, from your perspective, was this laborious? Was this like doing a full 1040 tax return to get things rolling with it, or
a 1040 would have been way easier. the process my brother and I participated in was definitely a task. I mean, we were required to write a business plan for a working business in theory, and that's what the competition was based on. So you had to provide that to the judges, and that's how you won, with combination presentations and overall package of how you're going to make your business successful.
Bruce, is a judge, is this all valuable information for you, or is it kind of like some college degrees where you just want to see if the folks will do the work that's necessary to get the job done?
Well, no, and there's quite a bit more to it. They do have to get into the business and try to see if it's viable. But we also have a night of questioning of the individuals just to try to get a feel for their character. Like, do they have an entrepreneurial spirit? So we judge both the plans. And by the way, we get a minimum of 30 up to 50 that we read as judges. And then we interview the people and they do presentations. We make independent judgments. We don't argue and fight. We score them, and the winners come out of that process.
So you're kind of absorbing the information, but you're not trying to either persuade or cajole the guy or gal to your left or right.
That's right. And the judges are very different in their backgrounds and their perspective. You know, I know certain things about business. Other people know other things. And so we don't argue. We just come to our own conclusions, and the winners emerge.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Kathy, Bruce, and Chris.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Miller from Economic Fuel. Let's see if I can get Chris's name right. Kieselhorst?
Kieselhorst. Really close.
Okay. Is it a K or a G?
K.
Ah. Should have known that. German, right?
Yeah. Nest of Stones.
Oh, well, at least you know what your name means. We don't know what our name means. I mean, Stein, we figure that part out pretty easy, but the PAP part, there's nothing there. I don't know. Yeah, probably broken. And Bruce Hamilton. Bruce is a judge in this. Bruce, I'm curious. I know how difficult it is trying to make an informed decision when you've got days, weeks, months, and you're doing an individual research project for one facet of a company. Great. You get these folks in front of you for, what, half an hour, 45 minutes, a little bit of paperwork. Do you feel like you have enough information to really say, this one really has a shot at making things happen?
Yes, I do. I do. We get to read an in-depth plan. I mean, it's not superficial, and the quality of the plans has improved dramatically. They work with SBDC, and they work with professors on the campus. And then they give a presentation, then we formulate questions, then we question them in public on the stage, and we also have a private questioning session with them. So we get a pretty good idea who they are.
You get three or four shots at them then.
Yeah, we get several shots. And, you know, the quality of the person is discernible.
I would think that that would be the case, Kathy. When you are looking at this, being from a different perspective, slightly different from where, mm-hmm. where Bruce is, do you see that this is kind of like running a gauntlet? I mean, that's the sense I have, is that this is a little bit more elaborate than perhaps some folks perceive it to be.
Absolutely. We hear from competitors that this is one of the hardest things that they do in their college career. They put a significant amount of work into it and thought into it, hundreds of hours, and I think the competitive nature of it and the prospect of winning $25,000, you know, forces you to bring your best game and to work as hard as you can. And there are times when we hear folks will say to us, you know, we thought about doing this because, it sounds great to win the money. And, you know, let me throw around an idea and flesh it out a little bit. And then they become so like, I really want to start this business. And they learn through the process that they can have a viable business model that can make them money, and they get really motivated.
Chris, did you guys start this as a lark? Or was this game on from the first get-go?
Absolutely not. My business plan was built around my passion for metalworking and sculpture and combining that into functional art and providing that as a service to Humboldt County and the extended area. So we were very determined to pursue the business plan even if we did not win any part of the competition.
That was kind of like gravy?
It was.
Or the opportunity to have gravy, I guess.
our winning money went to the purchase of a CNC plasma cutter that allows us to have a bit of a competitive advantage and a ability to really do some awesome artistic work for our customers.
Bruce, when you see some of the different plans that are presented, do you look at it from an economic sustainability perspective, an employment perspective, growth perspective, great idea but not in Humboldt County perspective? I mean, what matrix do you throw these projects against to start to winnow people out?
Right, you just about have it, all the above. But there's always a trade-off between, is it viable? Like, okay, I'm going to open one more restaurant on the corner. And are you really going to add to Humboldt County jobs? And some are more risky, some have higher potential. Those are the things we trade off and look at. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is create a method, a seed to get more jobs in Humboldt County.
That's the big target, down the road.
That's my bottom line. That's why I believe in economic fuel and to get the concept of entrepreneurship on the air. There you go.
Kathy, is that the stated goal?
I'll step back a little bit to our judging criteria, and we tell our folks that we look at three things in order of importance: viability of the business idea, ability of the team to carry it out, and then a well-written business plan based on realistic financials. And then the judging process is set up so that each of the judges brings their subjective, intuitive perception into the process. And so that's where you get that, you know, Bruce's primary interest may be in job creation, and another judge's primary interest may be in another type of, you know, economic impact. And they bring that all together.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more Economic Fuel.
Now enter the sunshine for Humboldt. The Ferndale Repertory Theater will soon begin another season. Between October and next July, they'll present 6 shows, a mixture of musicals, comedies, and drama. The season begins October 5th with In the Next Room, a comedy about a 19th century doctor and the women he treats. After that comes the tuneful Broadway hit Annie. Another great favorite, Hello, Dolly, will be on the Ferndale stage next spring. Songs for a New World, a musical exploration of life's emotions, will play early next year. And the summer will feature Boeing Boeing, about an American living in Paris who juggles three fiancés, all of whom are airline flight attendants. The finale is Victor Victoria, about a down-on-her-luck singer who takes a role to play a woman playing a man who plays a woman. Sound confusing? It is, and it's hilarious. For information, see the Ferndale Rep's website, ferndalerep.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chris Kieselhorst. You know, you tell me German, I can have half a chance at it then. Bruce Hamilton and Kathy Miller about economic fuel. Chris, this segment I'd like to kind of focus a little bit on what you went through. You were, I think you said before the show, one of the early ones.
One of the first, the first year.
Bruce, did you have a chance to grade Chris?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Oh, good. Oh, this is setting up nicely. What was the most ominous thing, Chris, for you and your brother when you were going through this screening process?
Oh, boy, that's a hard question. That's like asking me what my favorite was.
Okay, let's start with a simple one. What's your favorite color?
I like blue.
There you go. All right. Now we'll leap from that one right into the.
the most ominous thing that I wouldn't have to say. I couldn't say anything. I mean, the whole process was very like rewarding in every aspect. There wasn't
overwhelming at all.
No, it was. You set your goals and you set your intentions, and you followed through with setting your dates on when you needed to have your drafts done, and then you reviewed it with your advisors, and then you edited and continued on the process, and basically, you know, met the guidelines that Economic Fuel presented for the business plan. Showed up for the interviews, did the public speaking, and, you know, there's the classic nervous situation standing up in a crowd of 200 people, but that hasn't been the first time I've done that either, so.
So you were enrolled in college?
I was a HSU student, yeah.
Okay.
My last year.
Is that the majority for folks? Are they still in college?
Well, by definition, that's one of the rules.
But
you're right. They either have to be, or the partner, or just 1 year out, or something like that.
So, you guys decide to run the gauntlet, okay? How much was passion, and how much was real numbers?
Well, there's the end goal of winning $25,000.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, let me restate the question then. A lot of business people are fired with enthusiasm, but they don't know jack diddle about the business side. It's kind of like the stereotypical doctor, right? He loves doctoring, but gets embezzled $1 million a year and doesn't realize it because he has no knowledge of the business side. So when you guys were going through this, how much was the front end of the business? How much of the work was constructing the back end of the business?
I grew up with my family being very self-employed, involved with that. So a lot of it was the passion of having my brother and I having our own company, and there was the backing of our family behind that. So you know, I think really it's probably 50-50. You know,
Bruce, with most of the folks who go through the process, that initial 50 or 60 that you were alluding to, do you see typically there's more emphasis on one side than the other, or to a point where you can see that it might not have been a thorough process?
One side.
More on the business side, the number crunching versus the doing of the business?
Well, when you look at the whole set of plans, I do a triage right away, and there's always a third of them that the business, the numbers, just don't relate. Okay, but of the other two-thirds, then most of those, and it's evolved over the years because of all the help they get putting the numbers together, the set of numbers. But most of them, having not run a business, don't appreciate balance sheet trade-offs with P&L, cash flows always sketchy, those types of things. We don't put a lot of weight on that. As it's evolved, we put more and more weight on, is it a viable concept, and is the person, the team, credible? Those kind of more...
So you're looking almost at the source of the material rather than the actual what's on the sheet.
Right. We cut to eight fairly early. Those eight will have the plan pretty well together. You know, kind of they figure that out.
And I would imagine Chris was coming from a position of significant advantage, having grown up in a family that was business oriented, not entrepreneur oriented.
I think that is always an advantage. Some of the strongest people came from an environment where it was entrepreneurial in the family.
Kathy, when you see those initial proposals and presentations, do you look at them and say, or do you just pass everything through? Is there any pre-screening before the judges get any of the plans?
We have a set of required major components for the business plan. And so when we get the business plans, we look through and we make sure that all those required components are there. What they found the first year of the competition was that they could get through 35 pages and realize that there weren't financial statements in there, and there was no way to really assess the viability of the business. So we put this required components in there to catch business plans that don't have enough information for the judges, but all the plans that have the information go forward.
So that's part, Bruce, where you're able to say, well, a majority of them kind of get knocked out of the box early on? Or do you just make that individually and all projects go through the entire process?
We have a judging process where the judges receive all the business plans that have all the required components in it, and then they are part of the process is that they go through and make an assessment of whether or not they feel there's viability. If there is, then they use the scoring process and go through with the rest of them. But if there isn't, they're not going to spend a lot of time going through the rubrics and scoring them individually if they don't feel they're going to cut it.
And it's the collection of the judges. I don't individually kick out 10 or 12, but together that gets scored.
The team.
Yeah, right.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Bruce, a little bit more from Chris. What's that body language thing going on there? Hey, you're used to outside.
I'm a little cold. Warming my hands up.
You're local, right? This is not cold. This is comfortable, man.
It's the weather transition right now. You know, we're going into the cold season.
So. All right, fair enough. We'll transition into the next segment when we come back.
Verizon Wireless is continuing to do some technical work on one of their towers in Southern Humboldt. For the safety of the workers, Verizon has asked KEKA to reduce the operating power of the radio station through this Wednesday. At the 101.5 dial position, we will have reduced our broadcast power. 100.9 and 104.5 are unaffected by this work. When the project is completed, your Verizon Wireless will be enhanced in areas within Southern Humboldt County. We appreciate your indulgence as we work with our neighbors to get this work accomplished in the easiest way we can. Thank you again for your patience.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:45. Pardon me, it's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Miller, Bruce Hamilton, and Chris Kieselhorst. Bruce, the challenge of being a judge, I would think, is probably the most ominous. Chris, you guys are up there. You're doing your song and dance. You're fired up. You got your passion. You've done your work. Even if it doesn't work, you got benefits from doing the work.
Absolutely.
You're off to the races. I would think the most frustrating position would be to be a judge. And you see some kid that's up there, and the idea is there, but the follow-up work, the timing, something, some significant major that no one has pointed out, either an advisor, somebody through the SBDC, a partner, a buddy, a family member, whoever vetted it, didn't see. And you're looking and you go, boy, you're so close. But can you make those recommendations? Do the judges make recommendations for those who don't get that final tier to say, think about this. Work over here. Think about this as an option.
Well, in a word, yes, but not frequently. But we have met after it was all over. A couple of the teams have come and met with me individually or met with me and another judge, and we just talked about a few things. But you know what free advice is worth. So, but I would say it is a weighty responsibility when you know you're handing out $117,000 and some are going to be happy, but it's rewarding. So I feel it's a valuable thing to do, and I look forward to doing it next year.
I think it'd be a blast just to see the passion, to feed off of the projects.
Once you've read through the 50 plans, it does get easier.
Yeah, yeah, that poundage thing kind of comes up to play, doesn't it? Chris, so what would you suggest to somebody who was at school considering doing something that I can't imagine? Well, yeah, I can, but let's go with it. I can't imagine starting up a new business in the economic climate that we're in the economy that we are experiencing locally, with the change in the culture that we've had here in the last 15 or 20 years, a more daunting scenario that could be played out. And then just throw in the state budget just for kicks. And yet there's still people that want to do this. And there's still people that will be successful. What insight would you give them? What suggestions would you give them? How would you help them begin the process?
Well, first off, I would have to say that anybody that has an entrepreneurial spirit should do it regardless of what the economic climate is. And the most important thing is really committing to writing the business plan, being in the competition, setting a timeline of goals of when you need to have your information in, and, you know, try not to procrastinate as much as possible. Because it catches up with you really quick, and then you have this overwhelmingly huge task to complete, and there's always the option of dropping out. So
now you're doing that at the same time you're going through your seniors classes, right?
True. Yeah.
Which is always a cakewalk.
Right? And when I did the business plan competition, I actually considered it a class that I took. And I focused on it in that way. So it wasn't an extra thing that I was doing in my college career. I was like taking a business plan writing class, and there was the opportunity to win $25,000 at the end of it, which
would be a scholarship, right?
A scholarship, yeah. In a lot of ways, yeah.
Bruce, how would you suggest somebody considering going through the process, how to start, where to go? Not as a judge, not as somebody who's part of, but somebody who has the experience of the economic fuel.
Probably stop in on E Street at SBDC. Just start asking somebody. I don't know exactly what to answer there.
Better there than to talk to like a business professor or do some outside research independently to see if the idea really does have a chance for success?
Well, I don't know. Like you said, Humboldt County, the environment is important. And a professor, I wouldn't talk much to the professor myself. Maybe some other people who are in business might be a better idea. And ask yourself if you're willing to take the garbage out.
I've got a buddy of mine who's got some stations in Vegas, in Mississippi, and in Pago Pago. It's a long, complicated story. But he's got president, general manager, janitor. Right. That's on his card. That's on his signature block. It's like so true. Kathy, if people are looking for more information, how do they start?
They can visit our website at economicfuel.org. They can give us a call at 476-2628. They can contact the North Coast SBDC or visit the business department or at CR or HSU.
That sums it up. Thanks for coming by, everybody.
Thank you.
I would say it's been a pleasure, but the start was a little more challenging, so it's been an educational pleasure. We've been talking shop about economic fuel this afternoon. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.